sanyasyadhyatmachetasah nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvara. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with mind intent on me, and without desire for gain, and free from egoism and lethargy, you must fight. This verse we are reading from this evening is from the third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, on the holy battlefield of Kurukshetra, is so kindly, so mercifully representing everyone in this material world before God. There is a Bengali saying that if the mother wants to teach the daughter-in-law, she does so by teaching the daughter. Because the daughter-in-law feels very strange in this new family surrounding. So therefore, the compassionate and intelligent mother will not try to train and correct the daughter-in-law. She will only make her life miserable, which is usually the case. But rather, she will give instructions to the daughter, even though the daughter already knows these things. And when the daughter-in-law watches and sees this, the daughter-in-law learns. So Arjuna is Krishna's eternal associate. He is the intimate, confidential friend of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Whereas all of us, all the conditioned souls in this material cosmos, we are rebellious, we are fallen, in the sense that we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. And therefore, when we approach the Word of God, we are more or less like strangers before the Lord. Therefore, Arjuna is so kind that he is representing every one of us in his condition of consciousness, in his questions, and by Krishna instructing Arjuna, by hearing that discourse, we receive all the information and inspiration to attain the supreme perfection of life. So, here, Krishna is telling Arjuna, be free from egoism and lethargy. In other words, he's saying, Arjuna, your problem is you're proud and you're lazy. Spiritually. Materially, he was not lazy. We know the story at the ashram of Dronacharya. He was the best student. Dronacharya was teaching all the 100 Pandavas, 100 Kurus, plus the 5 Pandavas. And whatever Drona taught, Arjuna, right after the lesson, would practice and practice and practice throughout the entire day, and he would not sleep. He would practice throughout the night. So that by the next day, he perfected what was taught the day before. So according to his occupation, his profession, He was not at all lazy. He was like the doctors, the engineers, the businessmen in this world, frantically willing to give all their life, eating, sleeping, all morality, forsake it all, just to become perfect in their field, just to succeed. But Krishna is telling Arjuna, you're lazy. Huh? Give up your lethargy. What is your laziness? You're not willing to follow my command. And he also tells him, you have to give up your egoism, your pride. That is our greatest enemy. I think we know. How does Bhagavad Gita begin? Arjuna is explaining to Krishna what he thinks. Really, he's explaining to Krishna what he thinks he knows. Krishna, I know what to do. I know you. You are my friend. I'm an intimate associate. Therefore, I'll tell you what the facts of life are. I'm not going to fight. Why should I fight? I have so many philosophical, moral, and social reasons why I should not fight. And here they are. Krishna listened. As long as we think we know, God has nothing to say to you, my friend. All your spiritual progress is blocked if you think you know. Because one who knows understands that without humbling oneself before the Lord and His servants, no advancement spiritually could possibly take place. It is all an illusion. So how much Arjuna was nicely representing, especially the people of Bombay. I know everything. I work hard. I'm a good family man. There's nothing else to be known. You should hear my opinion. I'll tell you, being a sadhu is no easy job. Because being a sadhu, 80% of the time, you're just hearing everybody else's opinion. What percentage of people come to ask and inquire what is right? Even if they do, after the question, they go on for 1 hour explaining what's right. Huh? And really what they want you to do is just be impressed by their spiritual perspective of life. But in reality, they are stripping themselves of any spiritual qualifications whatsoever. Pariprasnena sevaya. The beginning of spiritual life is to inquire submissively. I do not know. Queen Kunti has said, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribir Eda Mana Puma Puman. What does that mean? That the greatest disqualifications for spiritual advancement are good education, which simply make you proud that I know. Recently at Ohio State University, we were speaking to one of the top professors, authors of many books. And he came and he was speaking to me. And he was speaking English. But I don't think a single word was less than 26 letters. This man had such a vocabulary that he may as well have been speaking Hindi to me. I know more Hindi than I do what he was saying. He could have been speaking Czechoslovakian or Mongolian. And why using all these big words? To show everybody around that I am a very highly educated person. And what did he leave with? All he left with was the same pride he came with. So therefore, Queen Kunti said, high education, if it makes you think you know, it is the greatest disqualification. She also said being born in a high family is the greatest disqualification. If we think that because of our birth we have some inheritance to the truth, that is the greatest delusion. I am a Brahmin. I am born in this very pious, famous family. Krishna does not care anything for your piety. He does not care anything for your morality. He does not care anything for your birth. He's only concerned with one thing: your surrender, your humility, your devotion. Aho bhata swapacho dhogari yang yaj jivavgri vartate nama tubhyam. Lord Kapila Dev says, better to be born in a family of swapacha, dog eaters, untouchables, and be a humble devotee of God, than to be born in a Brahmin family with all the education and knowledge of the Brahmins and not be a humble devotee. And the third disqualification Queen Kunti describes to us is physical beauty. When we are young, when we are beautiful, we think, who do we have to listen to? Huh? When I get old and I'm all wrinkled and crinkled, then I will maybe listen to this Bhagavad Gita. But now I'm young, I'm beautiful, I'm strong. Let me enjoy. You become infatuated by the bodily conception of life. For someone who's ugly, if you tell them you're not this body, they think, oh, there's some hope for me. So they're fortunate. But for someone who's very beautiful and who's being admired for their beauty, if you tell them you're not this body, that's the greatest insult. What do you mean I'm not this body? You're envious, you're jealous, because you don't have such a beautiful body. Krishna consciousness is for ugly people. They can't make it, but beautiful people like me, everyone is very, very kind to me. This is the greatest impediment. High education, beauty, high birth. And another great, great impediment is too much wealth. Because too much wealth utterly intoxicates the person's mind. I am the controller. People, when they are so much accustomed to ordering their servants around, ordering their employees around, even when they come before their guru, their tendency is to order him around. When they're around the sadhus, the Vaishnavas, they want to order them around. Krishna consciousness means to be a servant of the servant of the servant. Not to be the orderer of the orderer of the orderer. The master of the master of the master. That is the tendency of a wealthy man. I have power, I have glory. Queen Kunti says these are great impediments. Arjuna had all these things. He was most highly educated. He was coming from the highest parentage. He was a descendant of Kuru, the king of all the world, the most royal family in all of creation. He had fabulous wealth, and he was very beautiful. So therefore, Krishna is telling Arjuna here, give up your egoism. Then give up your spiritual lethargy. Perform your spiritual activities as the first priority of your life. Do not think your occupation, your family responsibilities, or anything else comes before your duty to God. And what is your duty to God? Krishna explains in this verse, surrender all your works unto me with mind intent on me and without desire for gain. In a nutshell, this verse gives everything we need to know for perfect spiritual realization. Surrendering all your works to me. Near Mama means nothing is mine. Everything is the property of God. One who works for the fruits of his action is described in Bhagavad Gita, Namam Duskritinor Mudha. That means such a person is, what is the English translation of Mudha? Huh? One is saying a fool, one is saying an ass. So to be diplomatic, I will translate it as a foolish ass. So why is an ass foolish? An ass is foolish because he works so hard. For what? For the fruits of his action. He works so hard so he can get some little bit of food at the end of the day. And all day long he's just meditating on getting that. What a wasted life. So foolish. But practically the whole population everywhere in the world are simply nothing more than foolish asses. No offense. But when a doctor diagnoses a disease, it's not offensive, it's out of concern. Why? What are we working for? We're working for money. We're working for prestige. We're working for promotion. These are all the fruits of our action. Karma nyeva dikarashte ma phaleshu takaschana. What does it mean to not be attached to the fruits? And then Krishna says, do not be attached to not doing your duty and do not be attached to the fruits. Everyone is working because they want the fruits. If you were not paid, would you work? So you must do your duty and not be attached. What does that mean? That means you must offer the fruits of your action as an offering of surrender to God. Otherwise, whatever you do will simply cause you bondage and frustration. However successful you are, success in this world is like tightening a rope around our neck. The more successful we are, the more tight it becomes. For a sadhu, I'll tell you how we look at things. Do you want to know? Amongst ourselves. We don't say this usually to the Grihastha ashram because we don't want to offend you. But tonight I will offend you because, after all, I'm not supposed to be attached. As far as we're concerned, when we see people working 9 to 5, 9 to 6, 9 to 8, 9 to 12, sometimes all day long, just money, 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 building their businesses, building their reputation. They're working so hard. To us, it's like having a rope tied around your neck, a noose. And they're just as hard as they can, they're pulling it. And pulling it, and pulling it, and pulling it, and pulling it. And the more they pull it, the more they're choking themselves. That's how we look at people of this world. What is the use? And they're thinking that the harder I pull, the happier I'll become. Because after all, the harder I pull, the more rope I can show people. See, all the rope I have? Now I have more, now I have more, now I have more. But your neck is getting less and less and less. So similarly, more and more and more we accumulate in this consciousness, the less and less and less spiritual wealth we have. Crazy. It's the activities of foolish ass. But this foolish ass mentality is so deeply embedded within our hearts that even after coming and hearing all of these things, still what is the hope that we can ever change our lives? There's only one hope. Krishna says, surrendering all your works unto me with mind intent on me. This is the only hope. We have to intently fix our mind on Krishna. When Krishna was living in Vrindavan, he was enjoying very nicely with his friends, the gopas, the gopis. They were simply enjoying. He was playing upon his flute, dancing, playing. It is the abode of love. But when this abode of love descended into the material world, Krishna allowed one after another so many asuras or demons to come in. Why? Just as Arjuna in the Gita is representing all of us, each and every single one of these demons that came into Vrindavan were representing demons within our own hearts. Each one of them represented specific qualities that are killing our own spirituality, killing our souls, and keeping us merged in forgetfulness of God. So one of these demons happened to be a foolish ass. Quite proper. His name was Dhenukasura. Let us discuss this beautiful Leela for a few minutes. Not simply for the sake of hearing the glories of the Lord, which in and of itself is purifying to our heart, but also let us try to receive very, very important lesson on how to come closer to God. Dhenukasura was very powerful. He was a very dear friend of Kamsa. In the forest of Talavan, there were beautiful tal trees. And on these tal trees, very, very sweet, ripe fruits were growing. The best fruits in all of Brijadham. And Kamsa, he wanted to enjoy those fruits for himself. So he sent Dhenukasura. And he said, you keep everyone out of this Talavan forest. You can have as many fruits as you like, and your friends and your family members, and all the rest you send to me in Mathura. And do not let anyone else touch them. So Dhenukasura was very happy. And he went to Talavan. And he was so fearsome. He was so powerful that even the animals and the birds evacuated that forest out of fear of him. And he would simply enjoy the fruits that grew on the trees. And then he sent the rest of the fruits to Kamsa. Now, Krishna's friends, Subal, Sridhama, Stoka Krishna, they approached Lord Shamsundar. Gopal, these fruits in Talavan, they're very sweet. They are so sweet that even from here, when the wind blows, it takes the fragrance into our nose and it makes us very much anxious to eat them and enjoy them. If only we can go to the forest of Talavan together, we will be very happy eating the fruits. But there's these there are many demons in the form of asses. And they will not allow anyone. But Krishna and Balaramji, you are very, very powerful. And you are Bhaktivatsal. You are always interested in pleasing your devotees. So please kill these demons so that all of these fruits we can offer to you. You see, the cowherd boys, they were not interested themselves in eating the fruits. They wanted to simply offer them to Krishna and Balaram. That was their great happiness. But they could not offer them to Krishna and Balaram as long as Dhenukasura was there. This is our problem. Krishna says, all the fruits of your work should be offered to me. But because this demon, this ass demon in our heart that constantly wants to lustfully enjoy everything we come in contact with, we cannot do it. So like the cowherd boys, we must approach Krishna and Balaramji and beg them, please remove these demons from my hearts, for I can offer everything to you for your pleasure. And in your pleasure, I will enjoy the highest. That is yoga. So Krishna and Balaram, they will always respond to the sincere call of their devotee. Similarly, if we sincerely call out the holy name of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna will enter into the forest of our heart, into the Taliban of our heart, and he will find all these ass demons. So Balaram and Krishna went into the garden. And Balaramji, he started taking the trees and shaking them. Shaking them. And he was shaking them with such force, all the fruits were falling. The sadhu, he is the representative of Krishna. Balaram represents Guru Tattva. Balaramji is the original Guru. How is this? Because he is the first expansion of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Therefore, he is the first one to assist Krishna in his leela. And what is the duty of Guru? The eternal function of Gurudev is to simply assist Krishna in his mission. So Balaram is the guru of all gurus. So Balaram went into the forest of Taliban, and the first thing he did is he started shaking the trees. So when Guru comes into the Taliban of our heart, the first thing he does is start shaking everything. Starts shaking. And now everything starts falling. And when everything starts falling, when Gurudev starts shaking things, then all the ass demons become very angry. Get this rascal out of here. The mind says, who is this rascal telling me what to do? Who is he chastising me? Who is he ignoring me? Who is he neglecting me? Who is he trying to get me to surrender when I am the enjoyer? What is he saying these things? Hurting my feelings, blaspheming my family attachments. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know. He's sannyasi. What could he possibly know about my life? The ass demons are kicking us with all these terrible misconceptions. So when Krishna's representative comes into our life, the first thing he does is he shakes us up. And the next, as soon as he starts shaking, all the ass demons start becoming very angry. So when Dhenukasura heard all these fruits were falling to the ground, he was very upset. He came charging at Balaramji. He charged with such force, he created an earthquake. Our mind, when we take the spiritual life, just to listen to the holy name, just to follow the order of Guru and Krishna, our mind just becomes like an earthquake. This is practical. And then Dhenukasura came to Balaram, and with his hind legs, he started kicking him and kicking him and kicking him and kicking him with such force. Any one of these kicks could have killed 10,000 elephants. And Balaram just stood there. Quietly. And when he stood there quietly, Dhenukasura became even more angry. And he started kicking with more force. And then Balaramji decided, Haribo. And he, with one hand, he took the two hind legs of Dhenukasura and he went like this. Something like that. He did it much louder than me. He's Balaram. So he was going, and as he was whirling him around Dhenukasura, he died. His soul left. And then he went into the trees, and the highest tree he fell. And the tree fell, and all the other trees started falling. He was dead. But then all the associates of Dhenukasura, they were very angry. They all started attacking by the thousands. And Krishna and Balaram were just catching them all one at a time. And they were all on the trees dead. It was a very beautiful scene. All these colorful dead asses everywhere. And the cowherd boys, they were very happy. They all started dancing into the forest to offer all fruits to Krishna and to enjoy with Krishna. You see, Krishna, he never keeps anything for himself. There is always a competition between Krishna and his devotees. The devotees are always wanting to offer everything to Krishna, keep nothing for me, and Krishna is always desiring to give everything to devotees and keep nothing for himself. So therefore, to the degree we try to keep for ourselves, to that degree we are poverty stricken. And to the degree we give to Krishna everything, to that degree we're really wealthy. Internal wealth. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, the more we give to Krishna, the more he gives us to give. The more we hold back, the more he holds back. So after all of these demons were dead, the demigods started showering flowers. And the boys all went into the forest, and with Krishna they were simply enjoying nice fruits. So, this propensity that we have in our hearts to be the enjoyer, to think that I am the proprietor, I am the controller, this is nothing less than the demon Dhenukasura living within the forest of your heart. And because of his presence, Krishna is not there. But when we sincerely call upon Krishna through Balaram, through Gurudev, when we sincerely call through the association of good sadhus, when we call for Krishna, when we hear from the sadhus, when we are willing to render service to the sadhus, then they start shaking things up in our heart. Don't be annoyed when that happens. It's good. It is required. And when it happens, all the demons that are hiding, they all start coming out. You see, an enemy, when he is concealed, is very dangerous. The first thing you have to do to kill an enemy is you have to get him to show himself. So the sadhu's words, they create such a situation in our heart that all the demons within start coming out, feeling threatened by those words. And then, by the power and the grace of Krishna, all of these demons are killed. And that power and grace is coming through his holy name. This is the supreme message of the Shastra. This is the supreme message of all the great acharyas. That by keeping our mind intent on Krishna, by chanting his names, all of the demons, all of the foolish ass-like propensities within us are vanquished. So therefore, these two principles are the prime necessities of our life. Associating with saintly persons, inquiring submissively from them, as Arjuna inquired submissively from Krishna, giving up his egoism, and giving up our lethargy and be willing to follow what they say. Krishna says in Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If you want to know the truth, you must approach sadhu, inquire submissively and render service. And here he says, give up egoism and lethargy. The same idea. As long as there is egoism, we cannot inquire submissively. We think we know. We remain in ignorance. And even after inquiring submissively, unless we put those instructions into our life by service, we fall prey to lethargy, laziness. Here in India, oftentimes people, they go to so many pravachans, so many saptahas, but their lives remain the same due to laziness. We're willing to work so hard for the futile temporary illusions of this world, but when it comes to grasping the real purpose of life, we do not have time. If after all my family maintenance, all my social obligations, all my watching television and all my social functions and all of my parties and all my business, after all those things, if I have any time left, I'll go to temple and I'll chant the names of God. Maybe I'll even do some puja. This is called laziness. An intelligent person must make a vow to chant the holy names a certain amount every day. Make a vow to associate with saintly persons regularly. Make a vow to do the proper puja. Go to holy places. And our family, our society, our business, everything else should be organized around that. If you do it vice versa, you're cheating yourself. And you're cheating your family members. And you're cheating the world. And most of all, you're cheating God. Putting Krishna first is human life. That is the prime duty. We should not be lazy in this regard. Krishna's chastising Arjuna, but really he's chastising us through Arjuna. So therefore, let us invite Krishna into our lives. Let us, in the mood of the gopas, the cowherd boys, beg Sri Krishna, please come into the forest of my heart. Please kill these demons of lust, of envy, of anger, of pride. And through your holy name, all this will be accomplished. So therefore, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranjata. There is no more sublime method in all the world of purifying our hearts and bringing it back to its transparent, blissful state than chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Because the name of God is empowered with all the potencies and all the glories of the Lord. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nitya Sarva Shaktis. Tatrapitani Amitas Maranena Kala. Ethadrishitavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi. All the opulence, power, and glory of God is within His name. The name of God is all attractive as Krishna is all attractive, like a magnet that can attract our hearts. Simply, we must attentively learn to chant His holy name. And our lives will be perfect. But without following the direction of saintly persons and associating with pious and saintly persons in our life, the real understanding of how to chant the name of God cannot take place. So whether we are guests visiting for the same time, for the first time, to this discussion this evening, or whether we are devotees who have been aspiring for 10, 15, 20 years, we are all in the same position, that the holy name is our only refuge, and the humble service of the sadhus is the only means of properly approaching the name. So with this in mind, let us practically apply what Krishna is explaining to us in our life. Without practical application, all theoretical knowledge has no value. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Whether one is man, woman, or child, anyone can call upon the holy name. So let us take this instruction to heart and let's taste the real sweet fruit of love of God. Let us cast aside all these bitter fruits of material attachment. And when we do that, and attentively think of Krishna through His name, the ultimate, sweetest of all fruits, the fruit of prema bhakti, we can enjoy eternally. And we could distribute the sweetness of that fruit to all of those who are near and dear to us. And that is love. That is true love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
How he
by the fruit, then nobody will like to work. So when we are in grastha ashram and we are working, what is the method by which we can work but we may not enjoy the fruit of the labor, and then we can make a spiritual progress? Because merely saying that we should not enjoy the fruit of the labor, then nobody will be interested to work.
Then you will become like me. So that is not good. Krishna is telling Arjuna to work. Krishna tells Arjuna in the 6th chapter of Gita that a sannyasi is not one who does no work or lights no fire, but one who works in the spirit of devotion. Because the real pleasure, the real peace, the real joy of the heart can only be found in that devotion. No amount of material acquirements, acquisitions, will bring one peace. In fact, Krishna says in Gita that our material desires are like a fire. And the more you feed a fire, the larger and hungrier it becomes. So therefore, with proper intelligence, we must know that real enjoyment, real pleasure, is in finding peace of mind and love of God within our own hearts. And to the degree we offer our love in the form of whatever we have, whatever we are, whatever we can do to Krishna, to that same degree, we will enjoy the sweet fruit of love of God. That should be our motivation. Our motivation should be that if we water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. If we satisfy Krishna, if we please Krishna, our life will be perfect, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Satchit Ananda. But if we do not water the root, if we do not satisfy Krishna, we will see everything. More important than the difference is the similarities. They both surrendered everything for the pleasure of their beloved Lord. They both fearlessly accepted impossible conditions in childlike faith of Krishna. Meera left her home. She had no one to protect her. She simply roamed through the jungles to go to Vrindavan. But she had complete faith that if I remember Krishna with love, he will protect me. When she was given poison, she had complete faith that if I offer it to Krishna, it will be prasad, and it will be for my benefit, it will be for my purification. Let him do what he wants, but I will take his prasad. Because of her faith, and because of her dependence in Krishna and Krishna only, she was able to do what is impossible. And Shabari, she was living in a cave, alone, very difficult situation, performing tremendous tapasya. But she knew Ram would come. She had that faith. They both had that complete faith that Krishna will come, that Ram will come. And therefore there was no impediment, there was no danger that even in the slightest way disturbed their minds. They were both exhibiting the nature of true devotees. By hearing in the association of saintly persons, this faith awakens in our heart. And with that faith, there is no obstacle, no danger in this world that can disturb our minds. And what is that faith? That if I simply remember Krishna, if I simply follow his direction and chant his names, then he will always be there to protect me, to guide me, and to grant me his loving service. So that is an example that we can all strive to follow today, if we are sincere.
मैंने एक प्रश्न पूछा था अपने भाई साहब ने कि राम जी की सबरी और कृष्ण की मीरा में क्या अंतर है. तो महाराज ने उसको उत्तर में बताया कि अंतर दोनों में, अंतर की बजाय दोनों में समानता बहुत ज्यादा है, क्योंकि दोनों ने ही भगवान के लिए अपना पूरा जीवन सरेंडर समर्पण कर दिया था. और उन्होंने ऐसी, दोनों ने ऐसी सिचुएशन, ऐसी स्थिति को सामना किया जो कि असंभव स्थिति थी. और उनका फेथ भगवान में विश्वास इतना था जैसे बच्चे का अपना बच्चे का फेथ होता है, क्योंकि उनको पूरा विश्वास था कि भगवान जो है उनकी हर तरह से रक्षा करेंगे. और इसका परिणाम यह हुआ कि मीराबाई जो है वृंदावन में गई, और जब उनके लिए जहर का प्याला भेजा गया तो उनको प्रसाद की तरह उन्होंने ग्रहण कर लिया, क्योंकि उनको विश्वास था कि भगवान जो कुछ भी करेंगे वो सब ठीक करेंगे. और इस तरह से वो पूर्ण रूप से भगवान कृष्ण के ऊपर निर्भर थी. और उसी तरह सबरी जो है वो तपस्या में कर रही थी केव के अंदर रह करके, और उसके उनको भी पूरी तौर से विश्वास था कि चाहे जितनी भी एक कठिन समस्याएं हैं और ये हैं, लेकिन एक दिन भगवान यहां पर, रामचंद्र जी यहां पर जरूर आएंगे. इस तरह से दोनों ही भगवान के शुद्ध भक्त थे रहे हैं. और वो जो है ये चीज उनमें कैसे आई, क्योंकि उन्होंने उन लोगों के साथ में अपना संबंध रखा जिन में भगवान के प्रति पूरी तौर से विश्वास था. और जब भगवान में पूरा विश्वास होता है और उन लोगों के साथ हम संपर्क रखते हैं तो हमारा मन में विचलता नहीं है, हमारा मचलता नहीं है. और इस तरह वो सिंसियरली जिस स्थिति में भी थी भगवान के नाम का जाप हमेशा करती रहती थी, और इस तरह से वो अपने जीवन को चलाती थी.
एंड द रिजल्ट, द एंड ऑफ बोथ ऑफ देयर लाइव्स, Shabari, in the presence of Lakshman and Ram, she lit a sacrificial fire. And with the holy name of Ram in her lips and the beautiful darshan of Ram in her mind's heart, she entered into that fire. And as her body was burning, she resumed her original spiritual body and ascended to Vaikuntha. This is explained in Valmiki's Ramayana. And Mira, at the end of her Leela in this world, she went to Dwarka, and with the name of Sri Krishna on her lips and the beautiful darshan of Sri Dwarkadish in her heart, she entered into the beautiful form of Sri Dwarkadish, which means attainment in his eternal abode.
और अंत में महाराज ने बताया कि दोनों का क्या हुआ. सबरी अंत में राम और लक्ष्मण उनके सामने आए, और आकर के उन्होंने अपने सबरी के जवान के ऊपर, सिर्फ उनका नाम ही था, उसने एक आग जलाई और अग्नि जला करके उसने अपनी बॉडी को उस अग्नि में दिया. और अग्नि में देने के बाद में वो जो उसने वो वहां भगवान के सामने ही वो स्पिरिचुअल बॉडी अपनी
always in their lips, and the darshan of the Lord was always within their hearts. And this is what they had in common. They both attained the supreme destination of Vaikuntha.
क्योंकि दोनों में यही चीज कॉमन.
Attachments to in any way come between them and their service to the Lord.
So there is, you said that we should fight the demon in our heart, but how should we fight the
demon outside who say there is no God.
The same way that Arjuna fought with the Kurus. He fought with his bows and arrows, and he killed them all. So, I don't want to create a wrong impression, but this is true. Arjuna was told to kill those opposing God with his arrows and his mighty Gandiva bow. But that same Krishna has appeared in the age of Kali as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has given us another type of arrow. It is the Astra of Harinam. More powerful than the Sudarshan Chakra of Krishna, more powerful than the arrows of Ram, more powerful than the Gandiva bow is the holy name. And the holy name of the Lord can kill the demoniac atheistic propensities in the hearts of others. So by purifying our own lives, by the chanting of the holy names, and assisting those great souls who are distributing the glories of the holy name to the world, that is the best way we can defeat, conquer the demoniac propensities in human society.
एक प्रश्न पूछा गया था कि हम आप महाराज आपने बताया कि अंदर के राक्षस को तो हम किस तरह मारे हैं लेकिन आज जो बाहर राक्षस हैं वो ये बोलते हैं कि भगवान नाम की कोई चीज नहीं है तो उनके साथ में हम कैसे लड़ाई लड़ें तो महाराज ने इस प्रश्न को उत्तर में बताया कि आपको उसी तरह से लड़ाई लड़ना पड़ेगी जिस तरह की अर्जुन ने लड़ाई लड़ी अर्जुन ने कुरुओं को मार दिया अर्जुन से भगवान कृष्ण ने कहा कि तुम अपने गांडीव से इन सबको मार डालो लेकिन महाराज ने कहा मैं उस तरह के आपके लिए नहीं सलाह नहीं दे रहा हूं कि गांडीव से आप उनको मारिएगा या आप उन सबको मार दीजिए जो भगवान में विश्वास नहीं करते हैं वो ही भगवान कृष्ण अब इस युग में चैतन्य महाप्रभु के रूप में उनका अवतार हुआ है और चैतन्य वही भगवान जैसे कृष्ण के पास में सुदर्शन चक्र था राम जी के पास में धनुष्वान थे और अर्जुन के पास में गांडीव था भगवान के जो चैतन्य महाप्रभु आए उन्होंने भगवान के नाम में इतनी ताकत है कि वो जितने भी जो राक्षस हैं प्रवृत्ति के लोग हैं आप वो भगवान के नाम का जाप करके और उन लोगों की मदद करके जिनको जो भगवान का नाम फैलाने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं ये दोनों चीजों का अगर आप मदद करेंगे तो आप उन राक्षसों को मार सकेंगे प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबीजेंसेस लोटस फीट एज ए हाउस वाइफ डूइंग मंडेन ड्यूटीज लाइक कुकिंग ब्रिंगिंग अप चिल्ड्रन डूइंग हाउस वर्क नॉट बी being to go out much, to associate with sadhus or not being able to keep time separately for Krishna, how can I ever offer all the fruits of my labor to Krishna?
Gopis were also housewives with children, but they managed to be with Krishna. So that is one way. Somehow or other, you must understand the necessity of Krishna consciousness. If a husband does not want a wife to become Krishna conscious, he's not a husband at all. He's an enemy. This is not my opinion. This is God's opinion.
whether it's popular or not amongst men, it is the truth.
The duty of a husband is to help a wife become Krishna conscious. That is his duty to God. All social obligations are insignificant compared to that. If a husband is impeding a wife's spiritual progress, he is her enemy. And according to Shastra, she has every right to go to be with Krishna. I'm saying this so that you husbands wake up and stop cheating those who you so-called love, and in the name of love, you kill them spiritually. It's demoniac. Even in the name of morality and piety, it's demoniac. Morality and piety is demoniac if it is not connected to devotion to God. It's not popular, but it's truth. Better you know it now than you hear it from Yamaraj. What do you think? Either you listen to me now, or you're going to have to hear Yamadutas tell you at the end of your life. According to Rishabhdev, you have no right to be a parent or a husband or a teacher or a guru unless you control your people, your dependents, the way to love God. Of course, some of the gopis left. They just abandoned all these relatives and went to the Bamsiva tree to dance with Krishna. So you can do like that. But some of the gopis, they were trapped. They could not go home. So in that condition, internally, they embraced Krishna's lotus feet from the core of their hearts. Whatever you cook, you offer it to Krishna. You raise your children in such a way knowing that they are Krishna's children, and I must raise them according to his desire. Give them food, but give them prasad. Give them entertainment, but make the entertainment connected to God. Tell them stories, educate them. Make Krishna the center. Give them your love. But really, better than giving them your love is giving them Krishna's love. Your love is not very important. But Krishna's love is all important. When we love Krishna, Krishna's love flows through us. Then even at home, we can always be associating with the sadhus through this instruction. And we can always be in the loving service of Krishna without impediment.
एक माताजी ने प्रश्न पूछा कि हम घर में रहते हुए घर का संसारी कार्य करते हुए बच्चों की देखभाल करते हुए घर और जब तक हमको किसी साधु के संग का कोई अवसर ना मिल पाए और ऐसी स्थिति हो कि हमको अपने टाइम नहीं मिल पाता है तो ऐसी जब इस तरह की स्थिति होती है तो हम किस तरह से अपने पूरा फल भगवान की सेवा में लगा सकेंगे महाराज ने इसके प्रश्न के उत्तर में बताया कि गोपियों के भी वो भी पत्नी थीं और उनके भी बच्चे थे लेकिन दूसरी स्थिति हमें आपने बताया कि आप ये बात समझिएगा कि यदि पति पत्नी की भगवान की भक्ति में मदद नहीं करता है तो पति कहलाने का अधिकारी नहीं है वह पति नहीं है ये भगवान के आदेश है वह हमारा दुश्मन है क्योंकि यदि हम किसी कारण से समाज सामाजिक नियमों की वजह से या पायटी पूजा आदि ऊपरी दिखावटी चीजों में हम अगर इनमें फंसे हुए हैं तो यमराज हमारे लिए माफ नहीं करने वाला है। और इस बारे में महाराज ने बताया कि ऋषभदेव ने इसके बारे में बताया है कि पिता को पिता और माता को माता बनने का अधिकार नहीं है जब तक कि अब अपने बच्चों को माता पिता भगवान की भक्ति ना सिखा दें। दूसरे उत्तर में महाराज ने साथ में यह भी कहा कि कुछ गोपी तो भगवान के पास चली गई थी लेकिन कुछ गोपी ऐसे कारण हुए कि घर में ही रुकना पड़ा उनको, तो जो घर में रह गई वो भगवान के बारे में ही सोच रही थी। भगवान के लिए तो जो घर में रहती हैं वो भगवान के लिए भोग चढ़ाकर प्रसाद खाएं, बच्चों को भगवान कृष्ण के आदेश के अनुसार उनको बड़ा करें, उनको बच्चों के लिए भगवान कृष्ण की स्टोरियां बताएं और भगवान का प्रेम उनको दें और इस तरह से अपने घर को जो है अपने घर को भगवान भावना भावित कर दें तो घर में रहते हुए भी हम उसका पूर्णता को प्राप्त कर सकते हैं।
Husbands, we want husbands to properly care for wives. Emphasize.
Lekin.
But it is also the duty of a wife to assist her husband in becoming Krishna conscious. That the family that prays together stays together. Family that dances together advances together. So now let us, the prayer of the age is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Ram Ram, Hare. And since we are all Aham Bija Pratapita, Krishna's children, let us advance together, let us stay together.